Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat. I'm Lisa, and joining me today, I have our Mouse Chatters, Lauren, Bob, Chris, and Steve. Welcome, everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
On today's show, we're going to have a special guest. We've got Drew Tablack, and he is a Dapper Dan. Welcome, Drew.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Welcome.
I am very excited to have you on our show tonight.
I'm very happy to be here.
Okay, so being a Dapper Dan at Disney, are you Disney World or Disneyland?
I'm Disneyland.
Okay. So have you ever crossed over the Mississippi to come over to Orlando?
I have, but just as a guest.
Okay.
So my very first time over to Walt Disney World was maybe 3 years ago. And the very first thing I did when I got to the Magic Kingdom was ask, where are the Dapper Dans? And I actually got to meet them, and they actually invited me up to sing a song with them, which to this day is one of my favorite memories ever.
Very neat. What song?
Mr. Sandman.
That's a good one, too. I like that.
See, I know, right?
I think we should try that. Next time I'm in the Magic Kingdom, I'm going to ask what Dapper Dans are. And... it doesn't work that way, right?
And then you put on the hat and go out there.
So, you know what? You actually could, believe it or not. We have a fair bit of barbershoppers just in general. So people that have sung in barbershop courses or quartets. And we all know a lot of the same songs. And so somebody will come up and say, hey, I've been a barbershop where I sing lead. Do you guys happen to know, my Wild Irish Rose? Absolutely. Come on up. And they will sing with us. And it's actually can sometimes be a really powerful experience. So it's a lot of fun. So
there
is hope. Learn a barbershop song, and then you can go sing with them.
Awesome.
Oh, I so want to be there when that happens, Bob.
Me too.
I'll practice for September for our get-together.
I think that'll be good. I'd pay to see that. Okay. So you're actually pretty involved in Disney as a whole, and you've also done some performance, I should say, with the Candlelight Processional.
I did. The very first thing I ever did with Disney was the Dapper Dance. And I was there for about 6 months, and I was asked to come audition to be the soloist for the Candlelight Processional. And they held this private audition. They had all of the music execs. They had the producers, the show directors, everyone in just this private room. I was the only one there, got there, sang it really well, did not book it.
Oh.
Didn't book it. Like, oh, okay. You know, that's just sometimes how it goes. Years later, so it's, what was that? Would have been 2011. I got a call and they said, we want to give you another shot. Like, oh, okay. So I went in nervous as I'll get out, and was very, very fortunate enough to get that, because they had people from all over the country, in that audition. For some reason, that particular solo is very high profile. It's kind of under a microscope. So I absolutely love getting able to do that. But remember, that was when Candlelight Processional was only 2 nights. And I know at Disney World, it's been, for a whole month, if not longer, for a long time. This is the first time that Disneyland Resort has ever done, we did 20 nights, and that had never been done before.
Wow, that's a lot of nights.
And they asked me to do 18 out of those 20. I had conflicts, so I wasn't able to do all 20.
But did they offer you all 20?
But that had never been done before either. Yeah, so I did 18 of the 20 nights as a tenor soloist.
Wow, that's fabulous. That speaks volumes.
Yeah, it really does. It was honestly being a part of Candlelight for that long, being entrusted with something that's as important to the resort as that. Was probably my biggest honor since working at the resort. Either that, or I was flown out to Shanghai a couple years ago to perform for the groundbreaking ceremony for the new park that they're doing out there, which is, just incredible. So probably a toss-up between those two things, just being incredibly fortunate to be able to have done both of those. And what I didn't expect was the amount of positive feedback from the audience after my performances, emails and phone calls and actual letters, of people just saying, you know, I was completely touched. That was just absolutely beautiful. Thank you so much. This made our Christmas.
And that's what you'd love to hear.
You know, blown away by, you know, I'm the singer. You know, I get up there and I do the very best job I can. And to know that that is affecting people in such a way, really meant a lot to me. And I've been singing professionally for a long time, and I had always wanted to record a holiday album. I can't ever remember a time where I didn't want to do that. And I've done a couple other records, and it just never quite got to happen. And so after the experience and the feedback that I got from Candlelight, that was really all the confirmation that I needed that the time was now. And so I've taken the first part of this year to find some really incredible producers and arrangers. One of the arrangers that I have is one of the head music directors at Disneyland. I've got producers that have songs currently on the radio. Their song went platinum last year. So that's the kind of
you've got
kind
some
of
heavy
talent
hitters
that I'm getting together to make this happen.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So yeah. Are you in the actual works on getting an album put together?
Yeah, I am. I am in the pre-production stage. I'm actually still in the fundraising phase. You know, record labels have essentially gone the way of the dinosaur. And so the way to get funding to put your own CD together is by really raising the money beforehand. And so I have a Kickstarter that is to make my money to make the CD. So, yeah, I have my website linked straight to the Kickstarter website. And that's how I'm raising all of my money. I think we've got 11 days left. And I think about $6,000 left. It's $15,000 to do the project. So we've got, I think, 11 days to make about $6,000.
So, Drew, if someone's a fan of yours, because you do have a following within the Disney family.
Do. Yeah, I started my Facebook fan site, or I should say artist page, not yet 2.5 months ago. And a couple of days ago, we hit the 1,500 mark.
Wow, that's really good.
A fan. So it's, if I had known that there was such a following, I probably would have done this a lot sooner. So I've been just completely blown away by the amount of support that I've gotten. It's just been awesome.
So if someone wanted to support you in your endeavor,
I would love it. if you go to my website, which is just my first and last name, drewtablack.com, drewtablack.com. That will send you directly to the fundraising site. That shows you what the rewards are for, you know, depending on how much you pledge. And the thing about Kickstarter is that if you don't raise all the money by the deadline, you don't get any of it. So it's very much
what happens
all
to the money
or nothing kind of thing. So yeah, it's very interesting. So yeah, I would absolutely love as much support as I can get from that. So yeah, that's drewtablack.com.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds great. I mean, if you've got fans out there that are listening, please go to the website, Drew Tablack, drewtablack.com, and go ahead and support him. Throw a couple dollars that way, and we're going to get an album in the end, which is great.
And you will have my eternal gratitude.
I think that would be great. So I'm gonna go back a little bit.
Yeah.
Back to the whole Dapper Dan thing. We kind of got sidetracked because we do that here. Mm-hmm. How did you get involved? How did you get started in this? You said you've been performing most of your life, and how did you fall into the Dapper Dans?
Yeah, falling into it is really a perfect phrase for that. I was doing a musical in Fullerton, and I hadn't been to Disneyland since I was in college. Been a long time. And the show was closing in a couple of days, and one of the guys in the cast said, "Hey, you should go audition for the Dapper Dans." And I said, "The Dapper what?" Had no idea what he was talking about. Even when I went to Disneyland in college, I had never seen them. I didn't know what it was. So, and I think it may have even been the very next day. And so on a whim, like, well, might as well, I don't have anything else to do. Showed up, and there were, you know, hundreds of guys.
Yeah.
Came in. You know, didn't really know what this group was. And then booked the gig, and the rest is history.
So I've seen younger dappers and I've seen older dappers, and I'm wondering if they're ever intermixed. Are young and old ever put together? You're clearly young.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it depends on any given day. There are some days where we have the very youngest member of the Dapper Dans performing right next to the very oldest and everything in between. There is no, you know, set. We're going to send out the younger group here and the older group here. It really has nothing to do with that at all. It just has to do with, you know, giving the best performances, and we've just got some phenomenal guys. I have had such a pleasure and an honor getting to work with every single one of them, regardless of their age. It's just not something that's really considered as far as which Dan goes out on any particular day.
Okay, well, that's good to know. So it's not even. Disney puts a lot of effort into trying to create the perfect blend, and it's not so much about, okay, well, he's available, so let's just stick him in.
No, certainly not.
Okay.
Certainly not. We have our musical directors are just, they have ears like crazy. It's just unbelievable. And so they do spend a lot of time deciding, you know, which group sounds the best together.
We talked about the whole application process. Was it what you expected?
It was a little bit different than a traditional musical theater audition. So in a normal, you know, musical audition, you go in with your sheet music, you hand it to the accompanist, you say, this is the bar that I'm starting at, this is the bar that I end at. You go, you face the people at the table, my name is so-and-so, here's the song. You're in and out of that room in literally under 2 minutes. This was different. We didn't need to have a song prepared. We just went in and sang the song that they gave us. And we did so in front of every single person that was auditioning. They herded almost 300 guys into this dance studio in Burbank. And we had to sing our audition in front of everybody. It was by far the most terrifying audition I've ever been to in my life.
Wow. A lot of peer pressure there.
A lot.
Do you have any advice for someone wanting to get into performing at Disney or possibly as a career?
Absolutely. First and foremost, if you go to DisneyAuditions.com, they do a really excellent job of keeping up to date on what they're looking for, where they're looking for it. So if they're casting out of New York, if they're casting out of Florida, Los Angeles, Paris, wherever, just keep a really close eye on that because things are added all the time. And I know a lot of people that now work at Disney just because they went to that website. As far as, you know, and really as far as, you know, being a performer at Disney, it's the same advice that I would give anybody that's wanting to be a professional performer. Education for a professional performer never stops. You're always, you know, you should always be taking some sort of a class. You should always be seeing some sort of a coach. If you're not a good dancer, just take a beginning jazz class because, you know, if you have two left feet, you won't work nearly as much as if you're a fair mover. So if part singing isn't your thing, take an ear training class, be a voice coach, things like that. That's really the best. One of the best things I did was I took a musical theater audition workshop class. So you go and they teach you just how to give a really good audition. And I have booked more things since I've taken that class. And that's just based out of Hollywood. There are so many places that you can go, particularly in this area. So if you, let's say, for example, you don't live near here. You live in, you know, some Kentucky or something, and you really want to perform for Disney, find a way to get out here for a chunk of time. So, for example, that musical theater audition workshop is, I think, 6 weeks. Find a way to get out here for 6 weeks and take the class. If you can get out here just for, let's say, the wintertime, something that I never would have thought of that has made a huge difference in my life is actually professional Christmas caroling. It sounds like the craziest gig, and it is. But I'll tell you, there's a lot of money and a lot of connections to be made if you're at a reputable professional Christmas caroling company.
Yeah, Andrew, from seeing the Dapper Dans, we see the on-stage performance, but we don't see any of the off-stage stuff. So what's a typical day like performing in the parks?
There is no such thing as a typical day, particularly with the Dapper Dans. You know, when you see us, you know, we're doing our show sets. That's pretty scripted, you know, that's pretty cut and dry. When we do strolling sets, anything can happen. We were on the four-person bicycle a couple of weeks ago, and this woman, bless her heart, she decided that she wanted to take a picture. We are riding the bike. We are in motion, and she literally got it directly in front of it and just stood there and did not move. And, you know, we're singing. We are singing as we ride the bike, and we came to an immediate halt because, you know, otherwise there would have been a severe accident. I think people forget that when they're in Disney, like, if they get hit by something, it's going to take you to a very real hospital. There's no question that the place is magic, but that ambulance will be real. So it's, you know, you just have to, you know, oh my gosh, we were doing a set and there was this woman that came up with, I want to say her one-year-old, and just kind of picked him up and stood right next to us and just kind of bounced her baby right next to us. And we're doing a full set with choreography and she's just there and she didn't speak English. So what do we do? Like,
you spin her, of course.
How do we, and you know, at that point, the only thing we could do was, well, she's going to stay. And we just finished the set with her bouncing her baby. It was just, so when you say, is there, you know, what's a typical day? There really is no such thing. You just have to be on your toes all the time.
So about that bicycle, how fun is that?
I'm sorry?
How fun is that? Is it difficult? Is it just like a regular bike for you?
It is really fun if you're not the driver. If you're on one of the back three, great, relatively easy. You know, just kind of keep your eye on the person in front of you, and that's that. If you are the driver, you are a stud. I tried once. That didn't go over very well at all. So I don't get to do that anymore.
they don't allow you to do that now.
No. Okay. They don't.
Oh, sorry.
I would imagine that that's if
right,
I was driving,
it's a blast.
It would be that
it's
way.
So much fun. Yeah.
So day to day, everything is different. What's the best thing about being a Dapper Dan then? Is it just the exuberance of performance? Is it seeing different,
you know,
people every day?
That is great. But I will say that the best part about being a Dapper Dan is the personal connection that we get to have with the audience. There was a story where we came, we were doing our set and we happened to be in the market house, and there was an elderly gentleman and he came up with his daughter and he said, you know, he's a barbershopper and he knows, you know, When You Wish Upon a Star. And he said, wonderful, you know, come up and sing with us. And, you know, he started weeping and his daughter started weeping and it was just an incredibly touching moment. And weeks later, we got a letter saying that he had passed away recently after that. And so the fact that that was one of his last experiences was something that they would be forever thankful for. So yes, you know, making good music is important and giving good performances is important. And it's one of the biggest honors I've had. But those are the moments that mean the most to me by far.
That's wow. Really sweet.
Yeah.
Kind of stemming off of that, one of our pixies, Leslie, was wondering if the Dapper Dans ever get involved or if you personally have been involved with any kind of anniversary celebration or proposal or anything more on a personal level to make something special.
We absolutely have. We have audience participation moments in many of our sets. So we'll bring up a couple and we'll make them sing, you know, Let Me Call You Sweetheart to each other. And yeah, maybe a couple months back, as soon as, you know, I'm in love with you, he gets on one knee and asks, you know, his girlfriend to marry him. And, you know, of course she says yes, and just huge cheers in the audience. And so those are just, you know,
now, was
not
that
to
pre-planned?
Be cliche, but they're absolutely magical moments. Yeah, he let us know beforehand.
Okay.
You know, so I think he actually had a friend of his come up and say, you know, he's going to propose. Is that okay? Do you have a song that will work? And of course, you know, absolutely.
Aww. Yeah.
And it would be very awkward if she said no.
Wouldn't that be so bad? There's always a fear of that. There really is. You know, it's like, what do you do? Because that, you know, she says no, that's going on YouTube.
Right. Yeah, that would go viral. That would be awesome.
Yeah, very quickly.
Okay. There are lots of the singers, as we already talked about, lots of Dapper Dans. Do you always perform in groups of four? Do you always have a quartet, or will you do larger groups?
I have heard rumors that at some particular anniversary or some big event celebrating the Dapper Dans, they will all come together. The International Barbershop Association Awards. I'm going to mess that up. International, whatever the big international barbershop convention competition is, was in Anaheim a few years back, and they were honoring the Dapper Dans. And so for that show, we invited all Dapper Dans that had ever been a Dapper Dan to come to the arena, and then all of the current Dapper Dans came together, and we all got to sing together.
That's
got
to be so really emotional.
Like that, yeah, it was incredible.
I like stuff like that. I'm a sap.
Me too.
Yeah. Okay, so again, with this mix of Dapper Dans, how young is the youngest, and how old is the oldest?
I want to say the youngest is 21. And honestly, I don't know how old the oldest is.
Yeah, you don't ask. That's just
really
not polite.
Don't. Yeah. And honestly,
they're,
know,
they're grandpas.
Guys are,
we know.
They all look much younger than they are anyway. So I wouldn't even be able to guess well.
Okay.
You've got a lot of good looking guys.
Out of their ears, it's, you know, it's a good bet they're
at least. Oh, Bob.
Okay, well, then let me tell you, there are no Dapper Dans that have hair growing out of their ears.
All right. So,
that's a grooming violation under Disney's code.
There you go.
No, certainly not. No.
What are your thoughts about the Dapper Dans performing boy band music with the Disney's Limited Time Magic promotion?
Yeah, I actually missed all that. I was on tour for a month, and so I came back right as that was ending. So I missed most of it. I was able to watch them perform it on the very last day of that week, and I was so surprised at how good it was.
Wow.
It actually was really, really good. They, for what it was, they did just a phenomenal job. And the audience ate it up.
Yeah, it's so
they
fun.
They absolutely loved it. And I was unsure as how that was going to go. But they did such a great job.
Yeah.
We got a little teaser. We went to the Fantasyland expansion opening, and they did a teaser with the Dapper Dans doing the boy band thing. And it was 5 minutes of just little segments of some of the pop songs. And I thought it was so cool.
Yeah, it was really funny.
That's something I would have... Yes. It's something that I would have enjoyed to have seen in full. And
yeah, it was great.
But, you know, I just love listening to the harmony, period. Whether they're singing Bicycle Built for Two, or I don't even want to date myself here and say what I think is a popular song. So. Raise the Roof.
See, and I would think that the boy band ones would actually be interesting to the kids. Like your tweety kids, you know.
That's exactly what it was. They went. I mean, I enjoyed it, but the tweens went nuts. They thought it was great.
Yeah, I could see my daughters like with the One Direction. I saw One Direction was one of the songs. I could see them going ballistic. That.
Yeah, I would say that was probably the song that got the most reactions.
Yeah, I'd imagine so.
Drew, why is it? And I honestly don't know the answer. I'm not being you know, all righteous or anything, but why aren't there girl quartets? They're always men.
You know, I've heard rumors that there was a Sweet Adeline's group in the park years ago. I don't know why there aren't now. I think because that the demand for that is already filled. We have Minnie's Fly Girls over at Disney's California Adventure, and that's really tight, you know, jazz kind of harmonies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got the Voices of Liberty. So I think it's just that that demand is satisfied in those areas. Does that make sense?
Well, the female voices, I understand that, I suppose. I don't know.
Yeah. And other than that, really the answer is I have no idea. Hmm. That's my best guess.
Okay.
That's all I got.
I guess that's fair. I mean, I didn't know, and I was hoping you did.
Yeah.
No points against you.
There is definitely, and I don't know why it is, but there, the barbershop quartet with, you know, of guys versus the Sweet Adelines, by and large, when you think barbershop, you think the men with the hats and the canes and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And Sweet Adelines are not quite as popular. So I think that might have something to do with it as well. Not, I mean, within the barbershop community, they are, you know, very popular and many people like them more. But just the general public that doesn't know much about that kind of singing, I think, you know, they immediately just go to the guys.
I kind of do too. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just kind of fun to listen to, and I don't know. I enjoy watching the men better than the women just because I do, and listening. Not sure why.
Well, I mean, the same kind of idea is true now. How many boy bands do we have versus girl groups?
Mm.
You know, there's just something to be said, just a demand for the guy groups. I mean, and obviously there are plenty of girl groups out there, but in comparison, especially in pop music, if it's a group, usually the guys.
Hey, the Go-Go's, Bananarama, come on.
You're dating yourself.
Yeah, you're dating yourself, Lise.
I was going to say, is it going to be rude?
Them.
Is it going to be rude if I say I have no idea who they are?
Oh.
No.
Oh, I feel old.
The Go-Go's, really?
Sorry.
I don't even know who those are.
Wow. No, I mean, I did try and go back a few years to get a girl band group, but I can't think of any. I guess.
What about
exactly?
The Spice Girls? Those
Spice
were fairly
Girls.
Recent. And Walk Like an Egyptian.
Bengals.
What group is that? The Bengals. Wasn't that mostly women? Right.
Yeah.
So there's a few out there.
Not many. Think how far back you have to go. That's because girls can't work together. But that's a whole nother show. That's a whole nother show. Yeah,
it is true.
We're not going to go there.
Do you have a favorite like a cappella group or like I'm a big fan of if you've ever heard of Straight No Chaser.
Oh yeah, I was in a professional a cappella group for a number of years, and we actually in the time that we were together had the opportunity to perform with all three winners of the sing-off. So we've just, we went out and were adjudicators and everything. So, you know, I would have to say my favorite a cappella group would be Simply Put. But that also is because that's the group that I was in.
Okay. Well, give them a little plug. That's good.
Yeah. Right. Well, we are no longer together just because we got too popular. And so many of us and our individual careers, you know, we just couldn't sustain the group as things kept getting better for all of us individually. Impact is a guy's a cappella group that is just phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. And I would probably have to say that they're my favorite.
Okay.
I think the only one I know is Rockapella. I think that's
yeah.
Where in the World Is Carmen
so
San Diego?
Well, yeah, they are.
And Disney World, well, Hollywood Studios out here, of course, had Return to Zero, but well, they used to perform as Four for a Dollar, but they actually are Return to Zero. So they're really good.
Well, at California Adventure, when it first opened, they had Groove 66. And that was a six-person a cappella group, and same kind of idea. And they were incredibly popular while they were there.
Okay. All right. Another question from a listener of ours is, are there any particular songs that the Dapper Dans won't do?
We get requests for
Baby Got Back.
On Board.
Oh.
And I'm not sure. I think it's because of a copyright issue. I think it's about, who has the rights. And also, it's not period. We are the Dapper Dans. We live in 1901, and we live on Main Street. That's where we live. That's where we sing. And songs like Baby on Board talk about car horns and being in traffic. So it's not telling the same story. So anytime something like that comes up, we'll pretty much consistently stay away from things like that.
Okay. So let that be known. The Dapper Dans will not be singing the best of 50 Cent or or anything like that. Okay.
Yeah. We also get a lot of requests for Freebird.
Oh, okay.
People think they're funny.
Okay. Yeah. People lighting lighters and
right.
Okay.
Right.
Nice. Okay. Well, it's good that you guys can have that kind of connection with guests in the park.
Absolutely.
And then, I had to ask this because my wife wanted to know, and I don't recall you guys using these, but and I don't know if it's just a Disney World thing, but she said the hand chimes that you guys use.
Yes.
Is there a story behind those, or?
There are. Those are called the Deegan Organ Chimes.
Okay.
And they are based off of an Indonesian instrument called the Angklung. And they have a bunch of them on racks, and then they play them with mallets. And they were adapted for the Dapper Dans for hand use.
Wow. That's
cool. So the ones that we play are the original ones. They are literally 100 years old.
Oh.
Wow.
Don't
drop
those.
That's an even better story than I thought.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and they've been refurbished here and there and had to be tuned, but they are the original instruments. And in Florida, they took the Deegan organ chimes and did a replication as best they could. So which is why if you listen really carefully, there's definitely a difference in the timbre of the instruments. If you go on YouTube and you listen to the chimes on the Disneyland side versus the ones over in Florida, there's a difference.
Okay. Very cool. No, that's interesting. That's
history.
I never would have thought. I would have thought you said, "Oh yeah, they just made them in a shop somewhere." But
no. And people often come up and they say, "Where can we get these?" And we're like, "You can't."
Yeah. Indonesia. 100
years
ago.
Right?
Yeah.
If you got a plane ticket to Indo here, okay.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Cool. No, and that's great. Yeah. And then of course the other comments from people on the page were just people saying, we just. Wishing, just wanting to say thanks to you guys for helping to create magical vacation memories. So thought we'd pass that along too. So
that's exactly why we do what we do. It's truly an honor. It's not a job. It's an absolute honor.
And on that, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up right here. I would certainly like to thank Drew for coming onto our show. Drew, why don't you go ahead and plug your Kickstart page one more time?
Absolutely. Trying to make my Christmas album happen. If you go to my website, drewtablack.com, that will take you to the fundraising site, and you can help me make that happen. So
yeah, I'd love to see that happen for you.
Yeah, thank you very, very much. Thank you guys so much for having me. This was a total blast for me.
Okay, I'd also like to thank pixievacations.com for sponsoring the podcast. You can go to mousechat.net or iTunes if you'd like to download our shows. You can send your comments and questions to us at comments@mousechat.net. Please join us again here next time on Mouse Chat.
Like a bolt out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you through. When you wish upon a star, your dreams come true.